Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the spot!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoins, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est
fini! Et
ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens. Le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. LaB.TV. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro, the Sick Podcast on this Thursday, May 11. It's a couple of minutes past 10 o'clock. And the Sick Podcast, of course, brought to you in part by LaB.TV, brewed in Quebec, a winner of a dozen international awards. LaB.TV offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. LaB.TV, embrace your true nature. And also brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group. Energy Transportation Group. A leading full-service logistics provider serving all of North America. They are driven to be different and brought to you in part by XL Moto, who carry most motorcycle and scooter brands on the market. They have a vast inventory of parts and accessories, and their technicians and service advisors are all highly trained. XL Moto, your ultimate destination and best customer service experience, in my opinion. Your number one spot to buy a Piaggio scooter. The Piaggio group, of course, which makes Piaggio, Aprilia, and, of course, Vespa. XLMoto.com is their website, and you can check them out. They are at 5480 Paré Street. All right, okay. So we're going to have a busy one tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun, because we're actually going to have a collaborator who's going to make his debut on the Sick Podcast tonight. And he's a gentleman that I like very, very much. And he's a former NHL player, a former Quebec Major Junior Hockey League general manager and executive who walked away a couple of months ago. But he, of course, he's a hockey analyst extraordinaire. You can listen to him on BPM Sport. You can watch him on TV Sport. Philippe Boucher will join us in about 30 minutes time or so. But first and foremost, he's a regular collaborator on the Sick Podcast. He usually joins us. He usually joins us on Wednesdays, but he's covering the NHL playoffs, of course. So he joins us right now. Is he in Edmonton or is he in Vegas? That's the big question. What is he doing? Wow. Look at this.
I'm actually in Vancouver right now. I'm on my way to Vegas, so I have like 20 minutes before I leave. But yeah, I'm happy to talk to you. Lots of
But hold on a second. Hold on a second. Where are you at the airport?
Yeah, in Vancouver.
But where? Like, what is that? What do you have behind you?
It's kind of like a little office with a lot of echoes. Echo. But
Where did you find that spot to do the podcast? It's almost like you knew about it, or you found it, or where'd you find that spot?
No, I just said, you know, I had the Sick Podcast. And yeah, with Tony Marinaro, I'll give you the office. So here I am. It's like key to happiness, knowing you.
Yeah,
or key to Vancouver, success. So.
Vancouver's a nice spot. I only visited once in my life. I went there when my son was there for playing in the Canadian Championship.
Oh,
which
really?
They won on October 10th. His team, St. Laurent, CS St. Laurent, U17 AAA, back on the 10th of October, won the Canadian Championship, as a matter of fact, versus a team from Edmonton, Alberta, beating them 3-1 in the final.
Impressive.
So great, great memories from Vancouver. We came, we saw, we conquered. But unfortunately, I never got out to Stanley Park. Have you visited Stanley Park before?
That's my spot. Every time I go to Vancouver, well, when I'm actually staying in Vancouver, I take the earliest flight to 8 o'clock, get there by 10 with the jet lag.
Yeah.
First thing I do, I take a like electric bike and I go Stanley Park all around, and my teeth are drying because I'm happy.
Wow.
And then after, I go for a run around Stanley Park. It's beautiful. It's the best. Yeah.
Is that right, eh?
Yeah.
No, and I ask you because when I was down there in Vancouver, everyone was saying like it's a must see. You have to go to Stanley Park. But unfortunately, like we were a group of five or six people, and you have to kind of like follow what everyone else is doing. Yeah. And there are a couple who just didn't want to go to Stanley Park. So we said, well, we're not going to go without you. So we just ended up going. And now you're telling me, how beautiful is it?
It's a must. Like you go around, you have beaches, like you see like big boats, and then you see North Vancouver, you see the mountains.
Wow.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And if you feel like having an adventure, you can take un hydravion. How do you say that in
the
English?
Carolina Hurricanes have just done it, by the way. They just scored in overtime, and that's it. The New Jersey Devils, Sia, wouldn't want to be. This one is over.
Well,
3-2.
You know
the Hurricanes win, and over. I missed a goal, but I see everyone celebrating. And let's see if once, you know,
it's
let's
just
see
normal.
Who's.
Who more put mature it away team.
Here.
Let's but see. If, Devils will get there soon. They're good.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on a second. It looks like it's fast. Who was able to deflect a shot from Jesperi Kotkaniemi? That's not a. Hold on a second here. Let me see. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we'll get it in a second. But that's what it looks like for now. Yes,
had
fast.
A pretty good series. Yeah.
Kotkaniemi had a pretty good series. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, in the first round, I went to Carolina for game 5 against the Islanders, and Brendan Moore was clear. I need more from him. I need more. And then there you go. We stepped up. So we have to, you know, give him credit for that.
Yeah. Okay. Alex Pietrangelo.
What a joke. What a joke.
Why? Tell me why it's a joke.
Well,
yeah, it's Jesper Fast deflecting a shot from Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Yes. Why a joke? Suspended one game by the National Hockey League.
Well, basically, you want to even things out, okay? So in the NHL's mind, process of thought, it's worth the same to, like, Darnell Nurse, like, kind of jumped him, but he had the invitation at the face-off. So the guy was, you know, he was expecting it. And so basically what you're saying is it's worth the same to, like, slash, like, big time with the stick over the head.
Yeah.
A superstar, like, at the end of the game that you know you're going to lose.
Yeah.
He's not close to the puck anymore. So it that's the definition of trying to injure.
Intent to injure for sure, 100%. I can't hear you. Something happened, I think. Do you hear me? Okay, I lost out on Marc-Andre Perreault, so we're going to bring him to the green room. We're going to try and fix that situation, and then we're going to bring him back. It appears like we lost him. All right, okay. Handshake. Yeah, Freddie Anderson and the Carolina Hurricanes are moving on, and man, Carolina is going to be a tough out. I mean, this is a kind of playoff that you just... you know, it could be anyone's cup, but man, they're really, really going to be a tough out, the Carolina Hurricanes. They really are. Good for KK, huh? Good for KK. We're going to try and bring Marc-Andre Perreault back. I mean, he froze up there. You had a chance to see that, but we're going to try and bring him back. Hanging out in Vancouver Airport. Look at Rod Brind'Amour. My God, he looks like he can still play the game, Rod Brind'Amour. He really looks like he can still play the game. It's unreal. Look at him, the way he was running out of there. The fans love him. Man, is there an atmosphere in Carolina or what? It's incredible. Who's starting to think that the Canadians should have matched the offer sheet on Jesperi Kotkaniemi? Hey, he's back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So pick up where you left off on Pietrangelo, yeah. Right? Okay, so Darnell Nurse gets a game for being the instigator. It's an automatic one game.
And I'm fine with that, okay?
Okay.
I'm fine with that. It's a weird situation, but let's say it's fine. The rule is clear. And then Woodcroft gets 10,000 because, you know, in this situation. So basically you're saying that it's worth the same as trying to injure a superstar in the league. Like Leon Draisaitl, lots of nights, he's the best player in the world. Okay. So what is the league thinking about? So at the end,
you know what the league is scared to suspend key players for multiple games. They're scared to suspend them at all. They don't want players suspended. They want everyone in the lineup. And the only reason why they actually suspended, in my opinion, because I don't know this for a fact, but I saw Pietrangelo getting suspended for a game coming from a mile away because I figured they're just going to even it out. That's all they're going to do.
Exactly. But, I mean, I think Pietrangelo is worth more to Vegas than Darnell Nurse. But at the end of the day, let's put them at the same level.
Yeah.
But I mean,
if Darnell Nurse was not going to get suspended for being an instigator, I'd be willing to bet that Pietrangelo wouldn't have got suspended for the slash.
It would have been a 5,000 fine. Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, the only way you're going to stop those dirty hits, those intent to injure, is to, you know, hurt the player. Make sure it's going to hurt them. So during the season, go in their pocket big time. Not 5,000. Are you kidding me? It's spare change for them.
Yeah.
During the playoffs, hurt them, hurt the team. Okay. So Pietrangelo, what he did, you're done for this series. Three games. Bye. Yeah. That hurts. So if you're Costin, okay, let's say you're Costin.
Yeah.
And then game six.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like the series is going to get even. You have the chance to hurt Mark Stone. You're going to do it. I mean, it's one game. I don't care. Mark Stone is going to be out. And I'm, you know, it's no disrespect to Costin, but, you know, it's not the same type of players. How do you want to send a message when the guy is whacking a superstar and he gets one game? And when they say it's his first time, oh, big deal. I'm so disappointed. Like, I'm so disappointed. It's, and I don't care who wins. Like, trust me, I don't care. Vegas or Edmonton, I'm going to, you know, it's the same for me. I don't care. But stop saying that you're
priority. Stop saying that you don't care. You want Vegas to win because your next assignment, you want it to be in Vegas. You don't want it to be in Edmonton. Mozituomo.
Trust me, I don't care. You know what? Good. Edmonton, summertime, you go for a run by the river. It's beautiful.
Yeah, you
nice
go to the
hotel,
mall,
just
hang by out
the
at the
rink.
Mall. Then once you leave the mall, you go back to the mall. Then you end up leaving the mall. You stay outside for 10 minutes. You go back to the mall.
Don't be like that.
Okay. I'm just having fun with you.
Don't pee on Edmonton. Okay. There's some nice things.
Well, who am I to be on Edmonton? I've never been. I'm just talking about, you know, I hear the mall is beautiful. What can I tell you?
It's not because your son,
by the way.
It's not because your son beat them in the Canadian championship that, you know, he
didn't beat them. His team beat them. All right.
But anyway, so what I'm saying is, it's stop saying your priority is player security. It's a joke.
It's a joke. Steph Fowler.
I mean,
it's a very joke, Steph Fowler.
Tony, okay. We're talking about Draisaitl. Can you imagine if he gets, like, broken hand? Can you imagine what are you going to do now?
The amount of time.
It's a nonsense.
Yeah. No, the amount, you know, what are you going to do? I know that there's no exact science on this, but if Draisaitl breaks his hand and he's out for, I mean, Pietrangelo would have to be out for the same amount of time. And now.
It's never going to happen.
They can't happen because, you know, you can't, you know, there's so many intangibles, right? And then And then if Vegas ends up winning, then what do you do? Like, you can't carry over. Like, there's no way you can do it, but it doesn't make sense. You're right. Now, I got to ask you, because the timing is perfect to talk about Jesperi Kotkaniemi, who had a very encouraging season, 18 goals, 25 assists, 43
end of season, And has
I think, a point every other game thus far in the playoffs. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you look back on the where did you stand back? Because I'll tell you where I stood. Okay, I stood. There's no way I would match $6.1 million. That doesn't make sense.
Never.
But if you end up signing him long after that for a number that's actually less than that, then I think it's worthwhile keeping him. That was my opinion then. It's my opinion now. And I think in hindsight that they should have kept him now. They couldn't know that they were going to get him for a long-term deal for less. But you're telling me at $4.8 million for the next 7 years or whatever that you don't think Jesperi Kotkaniemi. We got Christian Dvorak, Mapper. You're like, you're nodding. You're like, we got Christian Dvorak.
But the thing is that it was a payback moment and it was a stupid offer sheet.
Everybody knows he wasn't worth the offer sheet, but the long-term deal after that, like Christian Dvorak, like he's bland, like he's bread without gluten.
Yeah, but I think when it happened, I could see that it was maybe even or even a win for Montreal. Maybe things change. It's like Drouin-Sergachev, the trade. I was all in with that. All in. Turned out not very in favor of Montreal. So KK, you really had no idea what was coming. The only thing we knew is that he was like his development was downhill. Not saying he had a bad attitude, but you know, it was not the most greedy player, and it was just a nonsense. Things maybe are gonna turn good for Carolina.
They didn't have a lot of confidence in him though, and he felt it and it affected him. But anyway, there's no use crying over spilt milk. It's done, it's done. He's in Carolina. All right.
He's doing good. Good for him. He's happy there. By the way, he is very happy there. Plays golf.
Yeah.
No pressure. You know, he's having a good relationship with Brad Amo, who tells him the truth. So,
when are you boarding your plane?
5 minutes.
Okay. So we got five minutes, or you're boarding your plane? Yeah. We got 5 minutes. Yeah. All right.
No. Yeah. 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 Let's go.
Darren Dreger says that the Canadians, based on his information, are exploring the possibility of moving up in the draft, moving up in terms of improving on the number five spot. Okay?
Makes sense.
What would it take? Yeah, but makes sense. But, you know, we talked about this yesterday, and one of the things I said was to Stu Cowan was, well, the only way you can make a deal, because Chicago won't trade away their first pick overall, and Anaheim's not going to trade away their second pick overall. So the only way you can make a deal is if another team, be it Columbus or San Jose, already have an idea of who the Canadians want to draft, and those teams have already decided they're not going to draft that player the Canadians want. So they'll make that deal. But then it'll probably take the Florida pick as well.
Yep.
Or something else.
Well, I mean, to make sure you want the player like top four, to make sure you're going to have the player you really want, give them the pick of Florida. I mean, like, that top four, they say it, not generational for all the guys, but I mean, it's impact players. Do it. I mean, you have so many picks. I mean, it's exactly for that, to improve if you have the chance.
Yeah, this is what my gut tells me. My gut tells me, okay, Bedard and Fantilli are going 1 and 2. We already have a pretty good feeling about that. But my gut tells me that most likely Carlson and Smith are going to go 3 and 4, or Smith and Carlson. And it's going to get to 5, and Matt Michkov's going to be there. And the Canadians don't want to be picking 5. They don't want to be put in that predicament. And if they are, and Michkov's available at 5, they're going to pass. They're going to pass.
I don't know.
It's what my gut tells me. They're going to pass.
I don't know. I don't think so.
You don't think they're going to pass on Michkov at 5? I do.
Could be. I don't have like specific information, but I know for a fact that they need the best player available. We talked about KK. He was drafted because he was a centerman, and we still talk about it, and we're going to still talk about it for years. Yeah. So let's say they pass on Michkov, and then Arizona picks him and he becomes a star because they say he's like the second best player of the draft.
Yeah.
I've never seen him play. So I hear you. So let's say he goes to Arizona and then he becomes a superstar. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So, Tony Pregenero via YouTube Live says, my gut tells me that Kent Hughes wants Will Smith, he says. And I said this to Jean-Charles earlier this evening on TV Sport. I said, if Will Smith is available at number 4, my gut tells me that San Jose will draft Will Smith. Who's the GM there? Mike Greer.
Mike Greer, yeah.
What's his nationality? American. Which school did he go to? St. Sebastian's. Who else is American and went to St. Sebastian's? Will Smith. I know that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to take him because they're both American and they both went to the same program. But I just have a feeling that, you know, if there's somebody who knows absolutely everything there is to know about Will Smith other than Kent Hughes, it's got to be Mike Greer. And so I think if Smith is available at 4, San Jose will take him. That's what my gut tells me.
Probably, but let's not forget one thing, okay? That pick from Florida that you can use, it's Ben Chiarot, basically. Like 2 months of Ben Chiarot when you were eliminated. Yeah. So, like, use it. Use it as much as you can. But, yeah, you need a partner to dance. You know that. But, I mean, there's so many talks about the draft, and I get it. But you just don't know what's going to happen. We never know. So many things can happen. Kent Hughes last year tried to improve his second, his second choice. So many things can happen. So I guess we'll see. But I'm not sure if they pick 5, Michkov is there, and they have, they're going to do their homework. They're not going to take him at 5 if they're not 100% sure or pretty much that he's going to come play in North America. They're not going to waste it, that's for sure. But you have no idea how ready they are at draft day. They know pretty much everything they have to know about players.
Yeah. So, last one, and then you could board your plane. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca said on his podcast, 32 Thoughts, and I'm going to try and bring it up here, that I'm shocked. I can't tell you the amount of people around the league think that the draft lottery is fixed. And they are friends that I consider to be very intelligent.
Yeah.
I mean, just a comment, quick comment on that.
My comment is that it's the worst thing that could happen, because it's when Gary Bettman is saying nobody tanks. It's not true. And Gary, I'm sorry to tell you, but teams are tanking, and the Blackhawks.
Well, Gary knows teams are tanking. I mean, Gary's the same guy who says there's no correlation between headshots and CTE. Yeah. I mean, he's worried of a lawsuit. I mean, let's be honest here.
The Blackhawks were a joke on ice this year. They wanted to lose, and it was a disrespect to their fan, to the games, and I mean, they get the first round pick. I don't know. The draft system, the lottery system is not perfect, and we had the perfect example. It shouldn't be the Blackhawks.
No.
To think that it was rigged or whatever, I don't think so. I really don't think so, because let's say it's, you know, at some point we know that they're going to lose everything and they can't afford that.
Yeah.
But it's the worst scenario, and Chicago was probably the team that deserved the less to have Connor Bedard. And
hey, look at that. For the very first time tonight on the Sick Podcast, I'll bring him in at the same time as you so you can say, allô, comment ça va? And then I'll let you go so you can get on your plane and not miss it.
All right, we're going to bring in,
for the very first time, we should be getting him any second now. But he's supposed to join us at around 10:30. But I'll see if you guys can actually cross paths. You know, when someone's coming in, someone's going out, and on the way out, you say hello and this and that and whatever.
Well, I think, you know, it's going. Your show is going like that. Is if it's Philippe Boucher coming?
It's Philippe Boucher. Yeah. What can you tell us?
I was the appetizer, and he's the main.
For our viewers who have never seen Philippe Boucher or heard Philippe Boucher do analysis and stuff like that, what can you tell our listeners, our viewers, about Philippe Boucher that maybe they don't know?
Well, he looks good. Okay, that's
yeah.
First.
He looks very good. So do you, and so do I. So it's three of us that look good.
Well, no, it's another ball game.
He's another level, eh? He's a George Clooney type or what?
Oh, he's the best. And you know what? He's a Boucher, and my mom is a Boucher, so I think we're family there. So that's
wow.
Maybe we look alike a little bit, but
are you related with Mom Boucher? Or?
No,
you are not.
But it's my mother's nickname.
It's your mother's nickname.
Yeah. Anyways.
Hey, listen. No, we don't have him yet. We should be getting him.
Well, say hi for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I have to go. The plane. The pilot is waving at me.
And by the way, mom left us back in. It'll be almost a year in July.
Yeah.
The late mom. All right. Okay. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, and cheers. Have a safe flight. Okay.
Thanks, man. See you.
And I really appreciate it. It's a travel day for you, and you're doing this. It says a lot about you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Anytime, my friend.
All right. Very much. All right. Okay. A shout out to Matrix Home Fitness and matrixhomefitness.ca. Bring a quality workout back into the comfort of your own home. And whether it's the elliptical or whether it's the treadmill or whether it's the roar, you can really have a great workout in your home. And when I say fitness, you got to think Matrix. And when I say quality, you got to think Matrix. Once again, it's matrixhomefitness.ca. A lot of quality there after one period of play. So once again, in case you're just joining us, the New Jersey Devils season is now officially over. They were eliminated in five games versus the Carolina Hurricanes. And Jesper Fast redirects a shot from Jesperi Kotkaniemi in overtime. And the Hurricanes win by a score of 3-2 in front of their fans in a very pivotal game five and very big game five in Dallas, with the series tied at 2 between the Stars and the Kraken. The Dallas Stars have a 2-0 lead after 20 minutes of play, a 2-0 lead for them. All right. Okay. The reason why Philippe Boucher is going to join us any minute now is that, I was told that he's very, very high on a draft eligible player, which is a player that might surprise you, because if you know, anyway, who's he high on? We'll find out in a second. Let's bring him in. Phil Boucher, welcome to the Sick Podcast. What's going on?
Not too much. How about you? Thanks for having me.
You're very, very welcome.
For my number last summer. And you call me now. It took a full season before you call me, but I'm happy to be here.
Yes, but that is because your agent is a big-time negotiator, yeah. And I had to sell a kidney to actually make this happen tonight.
Are you okay? You made it through?
I'm okay. I'll live. Hey, Marc-André Perrault, I don't know if you had a chance to hear him, but he gave you a very nice introduction.
I had you on my computer. It shut down.
Yeah, well, yeah, like my kidney. He gave you a very nice introduction. He said you're going to have a really good-looking guy who's going to join us. But look, Phil, I've been watching and your work now for several years, and I'm happy to be on the same team as you, which is Jean-Charles' team with BPM Spa, Premier Comptoir in the mornings, of course, on weekdays between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. and weeknights between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. on GEC at TV Sport. So I'm happy to be on your team, and I'm happy you can join us tonight for the first time ever on the Sick Podcast, in which I'm hoping is going to be one of several collaborations. All right, going forward?
That would be awesome.
Thank you. So now, before we get to one of the major reasons why I'm getting you on to talk about a draft-eligible prospect, you know, I just talked about something where Marc-André Perrault, it's a very tricky subject, but Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and 32 Thoughts podcast said that he's shocked of how many people around the league think the draft lottery is rigged. Now, I don't know, like, for example, like, I don't know why it would be rigged for Bedard to go to Chicago, okay? But, you know, when the Canadians host a draft and they get the number one pick, it has a lot of people saying, hey, maybe, you know. But at the same time, if you finish last and you have the most chances of winning the draft lottery, and the Chicago Blackhawks had the third worst record, so they had the third best chance of winning it, it's not that much of a stretch either. But your thoughts on that comment?
I love Elliot, right? He knows a lot of people. He has opinions on everything. He's everywhere. Yeah. And I tend to, I won't say agree, but I won't disagree with him. Like, even at the major junior level, I'll be careful what I say, but when Lafreniere, Rimouski went fifth to first, a lot of people were asking why, right? Because Lafreniere went to Rimouski, they had Crosby. Good for them. I used to work for Rimouski. Everybody was happy for them, but everybody in the league thought it might have been rigged too. I don't believe it is, but sometimes things happen for a certain reason. For the league, I think it's a good thing that Bedard ends up in Chicago. It's a great market. But to me, watching the lottery was rewarding mediocrity. Like, and all year long, like, you know, we're on the same shows, right? And Renault is on our show, and Renault Lavoie, I like him a lot. But all year long was about, especially late in the year, was about losing game so Montreal could get a better chance to get Bedard.
I was singing the same tune. I'm not going to lie.
I know that, but why? Like, there's only one team, and mainly it's respected. It wasn't respected this year, the third team, whatever. Chicago went from third last to first, second last to first or whatever. But it shouldn't – to me, it's mind-boggling that teams would go that way. And then when I played in the NHL, my draft year was Eric Lindros. You know how many teams try to lose games and how many games Quebec lost and how many guys they went, oh, have surgery now or you're not going to play tonight. Miss this game, miss that game. So they would try to finish last. That's why they started the lottery, because – it was too obvious that teams were going to go after Lindros and go after players. And now when the lottery's in place, it seems like teams are doing the same thing. To me, I like the Canadians. I love hockey. I love when the Canadians are doing well because I love youth hockey. I love Quebec players in the NHL. And whenever Montreal does well, it's good for them. It's good for players. It's good for players moving up in the ranks. But to see Montreal all year long sitting down players, having injuries that – it's unbelievable how many injuries they've had this year, right? I've been on teams. and they led the National Hockey League
in man games lost. And over the last two seasons, they've actually set an NHL record for total man games lost. And Phil,
so back to what Elliot Friedman said, right? Elliot said maybe people think it's rigged. Well, maybe Montreal did that for a certain reason. That I don't like about pro sports. I don't think it should be gone.
Well,
it
should go that way. Without knowing this for a fact, I'm convinced that the powers that be got involved sometimes and said, he's going to be ready in a week. Let's give it two. I'm convinced.
Like Cole Caulfield, it makes sense. Get your surgery now so you're ready for next year. No problem there. But certain injuries, take your time. You're not ready. You're not sure. Stay out. And then, they're not going to pick first. They're going to pick fifth. Yeah. But, you know. How good is that player going to be? How good was it for the Montreal Canadiens to sit down players? How good was it to sit down? Kirby Dach missed a long time.
If they were 2 points out of a playoff spot, you get the feeling that those players that were out of the lineup would be playing.
Everybody in Boston played, right? They played so much to beat that record that they lost in the first round, but they played.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Phil. Hey, yeah. Your former team, the Dallas Stars, at what they're up 2-0 in game 5.
I got it right in front of me. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing well.
I think I see your jersey there. Is that a Dallas Stars jersey that I see there?
You got a Stars jersey, Kings jersey, a couple of Canadian stuff, a Crosby jersey back there. I got a bunch of stuff. Yeah, some hidden in the closet. I collected a bunch of jerseys later when I played, and I've been buying some for my golf tournaments and at auctions. I have a decent collection, but yes, that's the Stars jersey over my right shoulder.
For those who are not aware of you, out of the teams that, I would imagine that everyone is by now, Phil, but out of the teams that you played for, where did you enjoy it the most?
Honestly, everything was being drafted in Buffalo in the first round. I can always remember it was in Buffalo. It was so special. I did the interviews and I couldn't speak English at all. I couldn't speak a word of English when I did the interviews there. So being picked in, the team that draft you will always hold a special place for you. So Buffalo was fun. I had a good time there. Then I got traded to LA. So you're 20 years old. You're going to LA. So I enjoyed it there. I wish I enjoyed it more because it was injury-riddled seasons for me. There are a bunch of injuries, shoulder injuries and all that. So I could never really make my place. Towards the end, I did. Then I became a free agent, went to Dallas. That's where, my son was born in LA, but my daughter was born in Dallas. And we had more of a normal life with friends outside of hockey. And we had a very good team in Dallas, and I played well. That's where I played my best hockey, probably. I was there for about 6 years, 6 1/3, because 2/3 of that last year of my career, I went to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They needed a veteran. I got traded for Darryl Sador. We played together in Dallas, one for one, making the same money, just a change of scenery for both players. Pittsburgh was missing the playoffs by then. It was early in the season in November. They were 10th overall in the East, and I got there. Then Bill Guerin came along. Chris Kunitz came along, and the rest is history, right? We finally made the playoffs. And
Darryl Sador, who I believe the puck went off of his skate in the 1993 Stanley Cup Finals when John LeClair was behind the net and tried to push it in front. It went off Sador's skate and went in. And LeClair scored the overtime winner in game 3 and game 4.
Yeah.
And then the Canadians won the Stanley Cup.
They won like 8 overtime games that year, right?
10.
Something like that.
10. They went to overtime 11 times. They lost the first game in overtime in this first series versus Quebec. I think it was Scott Young that scored the goal. Yep. And then they rattled off 10 overtime wins, which is unbelievable. So you finished your career in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, 2009. Yeah. I got a Stanley Cup ring. I won't say where, but it's hidden somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And always say thanks to Max Talbot, right? Max Talbot, 2, and the Red Wings, 1 in the last game.
And a big stop, 7 in Detroit. And a big stop by Marc-Andre Fleury off Nicholas Lidstrom with a couple of seconds to go in the game.
On my favorite defenseman, what a save that was.
Wow, that's amazing. Just so I know, by the way, is that Stanley Cup ring in that house that you are right now, or is it in that house?
I won't say the address, but it is, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, and of course, the Stanley Cup, right? Capital Hockey.
Okay.
Live from Quebec City. Il a gagné la Coupe Stanley. Philippe Boucher.
Oh, GC's going to be mad. That's the first time I ever sing it. I hear it every morning. Right? I never sang it before,
Oh, wow. That's your intro song that JC prepared for you on his show by one of his buddies who did. It's a fantastic song, by the way.
By the way, I saw you in GC in the spa at the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
I was just in the spa earlier. I said, should I do it in there? Or it's our first date. Maybe
I
shouldn't. Yeah.
You know what? Maybe one day we can actually broadcast live from the spa, both you and myself, and we'll bring JC on the podcast as well.
Definitely, maybe that would help.
That those images of you saw me in the spa, I'm very happy to say that if I would go back in the spa today, I would be 26 pounds lighter than when you saw me.
Yeah, you guys are impressive.
26 pounds in 45 days.
Nice.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
So I joined the weight loss program out of Toronto, which is called Apex 31. Josh Al and I wanted to challenge each other. He set out a goal that he would lose 21 pounds, and he's 1 pound based on what the information I have. Yeah. We're supposed to set the step foot on the scale on the 22nd of May. He's lost 20 pounds, so he has a pound to go. My objective was 25, And well, I have more weight to lose than JC. And as of today, I've lost 26 pounds in 45 or 46 days.
Nice.
Starting back on the 27th of March, and today we're May 11th. So, yeah.
I'll call you off the air to get your tricks. I need to lose a few.
Yeah. You know what? Hold on a second. I can, I can try and find it, but well, maybe I'll get it by the end of the show. But if you want to give Apex 31 a call, I can give you their number and I can give you my promo code so you can actually get a rebate going in. But and there's a trick. There's a method to the madness, by the way, that if you call the experts at Apex 31, they'll tell you what it's all about.
Maybe I should just go to the gym.
Here's one trick.
Oh, water.
Here's one trick. A 4-liter bottle of distilled water, okay, per day.
Yeah.
And a tablespoon of pink Himalayan salt inside, which they say helps flush the system, and it helps you get all the minerals you need. So I usually drink about 4 liters a day. I actually I pour it into my water bottle all the time.
Yeah.
And I usually drink about 4 liters a day. So it helps.
Honestly, I took notes. I thought I was here to talk about hockey, but I'm learning.
No, let's talk about hockey.
Glad to be on here.
Yeah, let's talk about hockey. Okay.
I need to,
If you were
at
the Montreal Canadiens draft table.
Yeah.
And you had pick number 5. And Connor Bedard would go 1. Fantilli would go 2.
Yeah.
And Carlson and Smith, for example, would go 3 and 4. And Matvei Michkov is available with the number 5 pick.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Okay, that's a very precise question. First of all, to be at the table, I would be very happy because I would have many options. We have Montreal has a lot of good young players, especially defensemen, and they won't all play. They won't all able to be on the team the next 2 years. Everyone in place, Mayhew coming in and other people who are drafting. So I have options. I can make trades. I can move up. I can move back. To answer your question, Michkov is very, very an interesting player. According to a lot of people, he could be as good as the second player overall. So if he's there at 5, I would have – it depends what the plan is. What does my owner want? Does he want me to be patient? Does he want me to be aggressive? Does he want me to trade that pick to get a Dubois? We're on with GC every day. He wants Dubois in Montreal. So
yes, he
I would have a lot of options.
He's the president of the Pierre-Luc Dubois fan club, and we'll get to that in a second. But let's say the owner hires his people. He puts all his confidence in them, and their motto is
they want
to draft the best player available, and it doesn't matter.
Michkov would be the best player available at number 5, no doubt.
No doubt.
Then your work is how long does it take for us to get him to Montreal, and are we willing to wait that long? That's really what the question is. Like, do we have enough draft pick to get better quickly? Can we make a trade for Dubois? Can we make another Doc trade? Can we make a splash? Do we think we can get free agents this summer to help this team? Do we think we can compete for the playoffs in 2 or 3 years? And then Michkov comes in and makes us that much better.
Wow.
Because I think Montreal can be a good team in 2 or 3 years without that player playing right away. Whoever that player is.
Yeah.
I think Montreal has enough if they will be healthy. It's not normal what happened last year. So if they stay healthy, if they make a couple of trades, they can bring in a big fish up front, especially up front. And then Michkov comes in 2 or 3 years, they're going to be that much better. He's a special player. And then there's the options of moving back. Do you move back? Do you move to 8, 9, 10? You get another first round pick maybe next year for that, whatever. If somebody wants Michkov, if somebody wants another player, there's so many options for Montreal. Everything, a lot of it was unexpected what happened last year. Nobody expected Kirby Dach to end up in Montreal. And Montreal has way more options. No, they're not drafting first, but they have way more options this year than they've ever had.
Okay. The fact that he's going to be in Russia for 3 years, or it looks like the contract is that. The fact that there's an uncertainty that he might not be able to come over anyway, like all of that stuff. I'll ask you again. You have a lot of experience at this. Yeah. You were at draft tables for the longest time in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. How much would it scare you off if you were Kent Hughes or Jeff Gordon?
It would scare me.
Wow.
I don't even want to touch the subject. What happened to his father, to be honest with you?
Yeah.
What really happened there? How is the kid doing? Is he really going to come over? Like, those are you're going to need to – a lot of teams are going to dig in, because you know what? He could go second overall, third overall, fourth overall. He's that good. But they're all going to dig in. Is he really going to want to come? I think he wants to come. Are they going to let him come? And what's going to happen to the kid and the family? And those are not things that we should be thinking about when we talk about hockey and kids that don't want to, you know, play in the NHL.
No, I completely understand that. So is it? So you said, you know, you'd be worried with the pick, right? It's kind of like a patate chaude, right? It's kind of like you feel like you have to.
It's a no brainer. It's a no brainer. I think at fifth overall, and Montreal will be able to have patience. They have young players coming in. They have a decent team. They have room to maneuver. They can attract maybe not top free agents, but good free agents. Then you can have patience, but you got to make sure that the kid will come. So that's who are you going to talk to? And everybody can have information. I'm sure they'll be able to talk to the kid. But what happened to the father this winter is something that it's unheard of. And how do you deal with that? That would be my big question mark.
I hear you. It's my gut, right, Phil? I don't have any information on this, but my gut tells me that they're worried about picking at five, and Michkov is available. 3-0 Dallas, by the way, now, because my gut tells me that Michkov is going to slide in this draft, and the Canadians are going to take a page out of everyone else's book, and they're not going to draft him. Like, that's just, and so now we're hearing Darren Dreger say that he's hearing that the Canadians could actually try to make a play to move up and not move down, and maybe try and get the third pick, or maybe try and get the fourth pick.
That's what I was saying earlier. I was not trying not to answer your question, but they have so many options. So many options. They have young, good young talent. They have picks. They have everything. So, you know, and a player you want me to talk about, I think, is Zach Venson. Why wouldn't you move back for a player like that if you're not certain? Depends what you get. And if you think you can move back to from 5 to 10, you know, you don't move back 5 to 6 for a player like that, because the price is not – you're not going to get all that much. But if you want to have even more room to maneuver, more picks, more whatever could come with it, you could also move back. There's going to be some good forwards, because Montreal is going to pick a forward. They're never going to pick a D, right? It's the second year in a row that Montreal can respect your list. Last year, you're number one, so respect your list, right? Pick the best player you think is available and that you like. And then this year, they're going to pick a forward. So if they pick at five, they'll pick the best player they think on their list. And if they move back, they'll be able to do the same, because we think all the lists are the same. We see the central list coming out. We see Craig Button's list and whoever, a bunch of lists, and they kind of look alike. But NHL teams, those lists, if you put the 32 teams, they're way, way, way different. Maybe not in the top five, but once you start sliding down, those lists starts to be way different.
So you brought up his name, and I was told that you are a big fan of Zach Benson, a left winger, born in Chilliwack, BC.
Yep.
Not very big in stature, at around 5'9".
Mm-hmm.
Plays for the Winnipeg Ice in the WHL. Yep. In his first season, in 24 games, 10 goals, 10 assists, 20 points. In his second season, 58 games, 63 points. In his third season, 60 games, 98 points. And in the playoffs, 10 games, 12 points. And a year ago, and in the playoffs, 15 games, 23 points. Suffice to say that this kid is a point-producing machine, Phil.
Hold on. And plus 68 this year. That's amazing. Plus 68.
Wow.
That's not too bad in 60 games. And if you look at it, I have it here in front of me too. Like, He's got Matthew Savoie on his team, first round NHL, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah. He's got Connor Geeky on his team, first round NHL, and he's the leading scorer of that team. And why I like him, for Montreal, I'm not sure, for one reason only, is Cole Caulfield is not a big body, right? I think when we got Kirby Doc and Slavkovsky, yeah, was to get bigger last year. But yeah, when you look at Hughes and Bratt in New Jersey,
yeah,
they're not that big. They lost in the second round, but that team is for real. That team's going to be contending for the next 4, 5, 6 years. And big they time. Have smaller bodies. Mercer, we had him in Drummondville. He's not a big body. So Benson, I like him a lot because 2 years ago, I was the head of the U-17 program with Hockey Canada. It was a COVID year. So we had Team Black, Team White, and Team Red, three teams from Canada. And then we had the women's there. By the way, that was pretty special to see Marie-Philippe Poulin and her team play against the kids. I've never seen so many people, a group of people, and the girls having so much fun playing hockey.
That's
before
nice
the
to
game,
hear, yeah,
during the game, the way they played the game. The one-on-one battles were a little bit harder for them, but their execution, the how much fun they had, and how much they put into the game was fun. And then Benson was there, and then they almost lost, by the way, to the ladies in the semifinal. They came back, and it was truly not. I played in that tournament. What, 30 years ago? My son played in it maybe 7 years ago,
yeah,
against the Swedes, the Russian, and all that. Obviously, it wasn't the same. But Team Red played Team Black in the final. And honestly, everybody in the building was standing in the final. It was a very, very close game. And Benson scored with, I think it was 3 seconds left to tie it for Stéphane Julien, that was coaching the team, to tie it. And he scored in overtime. And he was so clutch, such a clutch player. And I heard so much about him. To me, he's a big, big, big game player. And he's done it, obviously, before the tournament. He did it at a tournament. It meant nothing. But he opened everyone's eye at Hockey Canada. And he's still doing it with Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And to me, I think he would be – he's going to be a very, very good NHL player.
I like the – you know, when you talked about – you talked about Cole Caulfield not being a big guy. But remember when the Canadians drafted Caulfield 15th overall in his draft year? The Canadians had a lot of small players back then.
Yep.
And one of the things they wanted to do would get bigger, but they weren't worried about drafting Caulfield because they really wanted that scoring. They needed a scorer. And what I've noticed, Phil, is when you're rebuilding or you have some years, some of those smaller players that are here now probably won't be here in a couple of years from now by the time, you know. And yeah, you know, they'll have Caulfield for sure long term if they draft a guy like Benson. But
what does Montreal need? They have centers.
They need scores.
We will talk to Dubois about Dubois maybe later, but they have the Kirby Dach is very good. Suzuki will be one. He's not the next Patrice Bergeron, but he's not that far behind. Give him time. They got two really good centers. Jake Evans become the third center, whatever. They need scoring wingers. They need point producers.
Yeah.
Suzuki will have points, but depends who he's playing with. Benson will get points. Benson will be an offensive player, will be on a power play. So I don't think at number five, I'm not sure. I think some teams will have him at five. Some teams will have him at five, six, seven, maybe not before that. Would Montreal have him there? Would Montreal move back? You don't want to be moving too far back if you want to get a hold of him. But he's going to be a very good NHL player.
So there's a gentleman by the name of Sebastian, who's like the head scout for Dauber Prospects. Okay, and you can follow them on Twitter at Dauber Prospects. Mm-hmm. And about less than a month ago, less than 4 weeks ago, they put out their top 64 prospect list. Okay, top 64. Mm-hmm. And he gave a breakdown of a bunch of players. Okay, I want to read what he says about Benson. Okay, Benson is the 2022 NHL draft eligible player who brings me the most unadulterated joy to both watch and scout.
Yeah,
he's one of the smartest to come out of the past three drafts and is as well-rounded as he is skilled. In my view, Benson is a clear top five talent in this class and is a toss-up with Leo Carlson at number four on my board. His game is of unrelenting intensity, awareness, anticipation, creation through movement, playmaking, and refined defense. Every coach would adore him. The game I scouted for this particular thread was a playoff game versus Saskatoon on May 2nd. His goal in this game and the plays leading up to it encapsulate, I always have a hard time saying that word, encapsulate his overall style of play in the offensive zone and highlight his combination of elite intensity and processing. And he shows he's number 9 in white. He
applies. That's exactly. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, it's a long thread, but I'll just finish it.
No.
He applies strong pressure and wins possession in a puck battle he was outnumbered in. This is a staple in his game, by the way, and makes a great pass to his teammate who sets up a grade A chance. He then resets. He times his route into soft ice and unloads a good slap shot to score. His shooting mechanics are strong. They're not elite, but they're strong. His shooting habits make him the goal-scoring threat that he is. He's elite at finding soft ice in high-danger areas, stays strong on his stick, and is a scoring threat under tight pressure. His low slap shot also demonstrates a strong habit of shooting for rebounds and deflections from low, medium danger areas. He didn't need one on this play, but it's a very healthy habit that also shows his adaptability to lacking a truly elite or game-breaking release. While Benson will score many goals in the NHL as he does so in very projectable manner, his playmaking is the jewel of his offensive talent. He's also the master of the give and go. His passing mechanics are great. Look, it's a very, very long thread that even talks about him being his motor and intensity, and he's a suffocating forechecker with great stick work. Like I've stopped it short here. Like he goes on and on about Benson.
Was that right on one game on May 2nd?
That's a thread of about 15 tweets.
Yeah.
Based on the one time he's come. Yeah.
But you know what? Most of that is accurate, to be honest with you. Would be the scouting report we had at Hockey Canada. That's how good he is. And the only reason I told you earlier that I'm not sure Montreal would pick him at 5 or teams where he would slide is with my job in Drummondville that I had till February, I know the kids in Canada. I know them very well, but I can't really compare them to the kids in the States and in Europe. So yeah. I'm being very careful on what I say, but I can't say enough about this kid. He's going to be an NHL superstar. That scouting report was very long for one game.
Wow.
But it was very accurate.
Superstar.
Very, very. I believe so. He's got the hands. He's got the hit factor. Not sure how you say it.
It's the hit factor. I know what you're talking about because I got it.
In that tournament, he had the hit factor. If you look at his stats, he's playing on a team full of NHL draft picks that are 18 and 19 years old. It's his draft year. He's leading that team. He's scoring the big goals. He's a good person. What's missing? Right, there's nothing missing there. Maybe another year of junior hockey, then into the NHL. But I would be very curious. Again, I'm being very careful because I don't know the prospects. Usually, if I would have been still with Drummondville, I would have went to the U18. I would have seen most of those other guys.
Yeah,
and it would be easier for me to compare. But let me tell you, if there's a better left winger, if there's 3 or 4 better left winger than him in the draft this year, they're a hell of a player.
I hear you. Do you know this name? Quentin Musty.
Nope.
You don't know him? Well, we have to we have to start following him because our friend Simo the Snake Boisvert is the president of the Quentin Musty fan club. Left winger, 6'2", 200 pounds, shoots left. With the Sudbury Wolves of the OHL, 53 games, 26 goals, 52 assists, 78 points, 4 points in 4 playoff games. Simo the Snake Boisvert is the president of the Quinton Musty
family. We're not talking about a number five pick, right? Are we?
No, we're not. Well, later. Yeah, I think he's like a six or a seven on Simon's list, but not on anyone else's list, by the way.
You know what the name I want to hear about in Montreal is Ethan Gauthier. I want to see him wherever that pick from Florida Denny's is going to be. I hope he's going to be in play. I think Montreal realized this year what bring Belzile and Harvey Pinard and Montembeault and what it means to them and how much more you get. Not more, but for Belzile, we had him in Rimouski. My first year as a GM, I heard Serge Beausoleil as a coach, and one of our leaders was Belzile, and how much it meant for him and how much more he can give to your team, right? I'm not saying he would not have done it for Dallas, but he gets an opportunity. He's proud to wear the jersey. I think you don't have to go out of your way to draft Quebec players, mm-hmm. but when they're there and they have character and they can be something different. Ethan is a complete guy. He's physical. He can be offensive. He can play left wing, right wing. He can play center. Can't wait to see where he's going to end up. I know the family is going to be very excited to go to Nashville for the draft. But depending on where Montreal picks in the first round, and again, they'll have a lot of room to maneuver, right? They can move up, they can move back.
Yeah,
that would be an interesting pick.
I'm happy you're saying this, Phil, and I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah,
you brought up Raphaël Harvey Pinard.
Yeah,
and today the Canadians are very proud to say they have Raphaël Harvey Pinard and all that stuff. But look, based on what we heard, the year they drafted Harvey, they passed on his first year of eligibility. Draft eligibility, and on a second year of draft eligibility, they made a move to get a pick in the seventh round parce que ils voulaient faire plaisir à tout le monde au Québec. They, you know, basically, long story short, translation: they didn't want to get criticized from the media to say once again another year you didn't draft a Quebec-born player. Lucky for them, they drafted the right one, Raphaël Harvey Pinard, and they deserve credit, right? But if they would have loved them that much, you would have think they would have taken him earlier. But it would be nice. It would be nice 1 year that the Montreal Canadiens, when they do draft from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, actually have the player who is the best or touted as the best Quebec-born player from the Q. And not a guy that they're going to pick up in the seventh round just so people can shut up.
Well, Gauthier is going to be very high on a lot of teams. I think he's a first-round pick, but is he 15th? Is he 25th? Is he early second round? We don't know. But back to Harvey Pinard, like, I'm the first to complain about injuries with Montreal. And I can't believe what happened, but we discovered a player.
Right? You're right.
My son plays in American Hockey League, and Harvey Pinard was a very good junior player, not a dominant junior player. He's a very good junior player. He was a very good AHL player, not extraordinary. Now you give him a chance in the NHL, what was he? Very good NHL player.
Was a better NHL player than he was an AHL player.
Oh, it's much easier. I've said that for a long, long time. People don't understand. It's much easier to play in the NHL than it is to play in American Hockey League. It is much easier. You play with better players. The thing is, you got to be able to read them. You got to be, and he's such a smart player. He's not the best skater, not the best shooter. He's got a great hockey brain, hockey sense. It's very hard to describe hockey sense. We did interviews in junior, and we would go to kids. What's hockey sense for you? It's an unfair question because it's very hard to describe. You got to see it with your own eyes. And then that's what RV Pinard is.
And right? if you have that hockey sense, Phil, you will find it easier to play in the National Hockey League because there will be players who will read the game more like you. And, you know, when you're going to go to a certain area, you're going to end up getting that puck where in the American Hockey League, not everyone's going to make the NHL. So you might go to an area, you might not get the puck, or you might give the puck to another player where that player is supposed to be, but they'll never end up being.
There's a big hockey tournament here in Quebec City. I won the first event. Bob Bissonnette, right? You know Bob Bissonnette, the singer? Bob, you know, since he passed away, his friends put a charity event, and I played in it. We won it the first year. And Harvey Pinard played with my son for a couple of years, and we would go there and watch. I don't play anymore. I was hoping to play in the big NHL category for when I turned 50 this year, but I'm out of shape a little. My knees are not allowing me to do it. I want to play on my son's team. That's not going to happen. But when Harvey Pinard played with my son, we're in the stands, and we're like, oh, who's that? Who's this? And I know the kids, right? Well, that's Harvey Pinard. He's got the Montreal pants, and he wouldn't stand out. Why wouldn't he stand out? Because those are tournaments where skilled players come through. Guys from Europe, right? Guys with the great hands, and they turn around, and they do all kinds of stuff. You see them. But Artemi Pinari is a true hockey player. He plays the right way. He does the right things at the right time for the right reasons. He's dedicated. He's doing everything well. So Montreal, in a year that was very tough, they discovered a player. And I hope they're going to sign him long term. What can he be? He was a good left winger on the first line this year at times, right? Played the power play, played the bumper, or whatever. What is he going to be at worst for the Montreal Canadiens? The best left winger on the fourth line they've never had.
You're right about that.
And he's going to be helping them with the culture and how to do things and be proud to play for the Montreal Canadiens. If they discovered one thing this year, is out of Laval, they had a player that maybe they didn't expect to have in the NHL at the NHL level that should be there for a long time.
And Phil, I love his attitude, and I don't know his parents. I don't know his family, but I can tell right away they did an amazing job with him, because when they sent him down to help Laval down the stretch, and he goes down with a smile on his face, the first thing he says is, "Je suis content d'être ici." I could tell you, I know this new generation, and a lot of them are spoiled, and a lot of them are entitled.
I've met many of those young guys. I've been in junior for 12 years. He stayed with us at my house when he played at the tournament for 2 years, and he's a gentleman. He's going to be. There's a reason why certain guys don't make it. He's going to make it all the way through. It's because how he was brought up, how he was raised, and how he's doing things. I remember David Dionne's mother at my golf tournament came to me, and that's before David played, and she was like, "Well, he's not getting a chance. He's not lucky." So there's no luck in hockey. It's when an opportunity meets preparation, and David had an opportunity. And he was prepared, and what happened this year is, Harvey Pinard is not bitching about, "I'm not getting an opportunity. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get ready. Well, here's the opportunity. I'm going to make the most of it." Yeah. There's a lot of guys in the American Hockey League, "Oh, I never got my chance." Well, did you prepare for that chance? That chance might last one day.
Yeah.
But the day you're going to be there, you better make the most of it. And he did.
Phil, you know, I've so enjoyed this conversation. I feel like I could talk to you until 2 o'clock in the morning, but we're not going to do that.
I got nothing else, bud.
But I will do this, because you brought it up before, and I'll probably end it with this, okay? You've heard a lot of talk about Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yeah.
You know his history. The Canadians were very interested in him in his draft year. Mm-hmm. At that draft, not on that draft weekend, but about 4 or 5 days later, that draft took place in Buffalo on the Friday and the Saturday, and I believe it was on the Wednesday or the Thursday, the Canadians ended up trading PK Subban to the Nashville Predators. They thought at the draft that they had a deal in place with the Edmonton Oilers, and in that deal was going to be Edmonton's fourth pick overall, which the Canadians, their intention would have been to draft Pierre-Luc Dubois with that fourth pick. That was the year of Austin Matthews, number one, Patrick Laine, number two, if memory serves me well, and Jesse Puljujarvi at number three, I believe, right? Was that the year?
I believe
instead, Jarmo Kekalainen, with the third pick overall, chose Dubois for Columbus and not Puljujarvi. And and so, anyway, that deal never happened. And so he goes to Columbus, Pierre-Luc Dubois does, and he plays for the Columbus Blue Jackets for just over 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. At the end of that season, he asked for a trade to the Montreal Canadiens, and he really wanted to go to the Canadiens. There was some talk that the Canadiens were actually going to offer sheet him, but Jarmo Kekalainen actually traded away a couple of players so that he can...
I've heard you say that story before, but you really prepare in case there's an offer sheet, because there's one every 4 years.
I hear you. Well, listen, it was told to me by Aaron Portwine.
I know.
It was very close.
I don't doubt
it. In Columbus, and I'm sure he was given that information from somebody very high up there. And so the story goes that Aaron told us from The Athletic is that Dubois wasn't happy that they didn't accommodate his trade request to the Canadians, and he didn't want to stay in Columbus. So he went out on that shift that has made the rounds of YouTube where he just
behind the bench.
He just dogged it for 20 seconds. It was the most disinterested shift in the history of hockey. Okay. With John Tortorella coaching, you're right. And then that was his last shift. That was five games into the season. And then he was traded. And it was his way of saying, Aaron Portsline told us, it was his way of saying, I want to be traded. You don't want to trade me? Well, this is the shift I'm going to give you. Now,
I don't doubt what you're saying, but and what he told you, but do you really prepare that hard for an offer sheet? Was that the right thing to do from the organization's standpoint?
Yeah.
That's my the information could be right, but that's a lot of moves to maybe.
It could be right, and it could be wrong, okay? Now, he gets traded to Winnipeg. He's with the Jets there for a couple of years. He's had two good regular seasons. In his first year, too, he had 20 points in 41 games. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a great playoff with three assists and seven playoff games. This second season, 60 points in 81 games. That's a good season. Mm-hmm. And this year, his best season in the National Hockey League, 63 points in 73 games. He'll turn 25 in about a month and a half. He's probably going to be entering his prime years in about a year or two. Mm-hmm. He's a big body at 6'2", about 210 pounds. He's from La Belle Province, Saint-Agathe-des-Monts. Mm-hmm. And it's been whispered in several people's ears that Pierre-Luc Dubois wants to come home to play for the Montreal Canadiens. My question to you is, yes or no to Dubois?
Yes, if the price is right. I would. To be honest, Suzuki and Doc, number one, number two center, who cares? And if you bring Dubois, number one, number two, number three, who cares, right? One can play on the wing. Suzuki won't play on the wing. But I would do it if the price is right. And the timing would be better now. It would be a lot easier for him to face the expectations and of coming to Montreal at 25 than it would have been when he was 18 when he wanted to draft him. I don't think it's easy for a player, a fourth overall pick from the Quebec area, to be drafted a Montreal Canadian. I think that would have been tough for him. I think he's going to be able to face that now if he comes there, especially that it's been known. Like, we're all asked that question when we play in the NHL. Do you want to play for the Montreal Canadiens? What are we supposed to say? No. So we come to Montreal once a year. I came once every 2 years for a while. Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah.
But for him, he's not denying it. It's coming from a bunch of different sources. I think he'd love to play in Montreal. I think, but you got to make sure, no, you don't want to go into Caulfield. You don't want to go into Doc. You don't want to go into those guys. Yeah. But if it's draft picks, and he's not going to resign there. So who's going to give them more? And I think it would be wiser for Montreal to get him before La Saint-Jean-Baptiste, right? Because I think if they don't get him before La Saint-Jean-Baptiste this year, it might be hard to get him. Because if he becomes a free agent, he's going to be a lot of teams are going to be after him. I mean, the LA Kings come after you. When the Dallas Stars come after you without taxes. When Florida comes after you. If Montreal wants him, you should get him now, have him for a while, sign him long-term, and have him here. If that's what they really want to do. But we've been talking about this with GC for the whole season.
Yeah.
But do they really want him? We have no idea. That's the beauty of it. They don't have to tell us. But
yeah.
Does Kent Hughes really want him? We don't know.
All right. So, and this is the beauty of sports, where you can engage in a difference of opinion, okay? Yeah. Everyone knows Pierre-Luc Dubois is a good hockey player. I mean, if anyone doesn't think he's a good hockey player, I mean, they're not watching, right? And he's got a package, you know, of size and strength and reach and versatility, and he can play different positions, like you said. As a matter of fact, I think he can play all three forward positions.
Yeah, exactly.
And you never have enough good hockey players on a team, and you never have enough versatile players who can play all three positions, all that stuff. And when you're from La Belle Province, I mean, you know, even better. Having said that, I got a couple of opinions here. Number one is, I disagree with you on the timing of when to get him, because if you can get him without giving up anybody in over a year from now, and I know what you said, everyone's going to be coming out.
It costs you a lot more money.
But if he really wants to come here, Phil, we're hearing he really wants to come here.
Yeah.
If he really wants to come here, he's going to say, no, it's going to take $2 million more because I'm getting an offer from Dallas. It's tax-free. That leaves a very sour taste.
What happened with Philippe Dano?
Same thing. Yeah. But I think Philippe Dano,
he didn't feel wanted, though.
He left because he didn't feel appreciated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, Number two, as much as he's a very good player, and everybody knows that, his track record so far.
Yeah.
Aren't there red flags that worry you?
What did I say? If the price is right.
If the price is right.
And the price is right is the trade and the money. You know, because Gouley is going to be getting his money years down the road. You don't want to handicap yourself with giving Dubois $10 million.
So you said at the beginning of this conversation, the Canadians have too many defensemen, and they're not all going to be able to play here at the same time.
No.
Which one would you be willing to sacrifice?
I would give it time. I would give it a little time. I would keep them in the minors next. Unless you can make a big trade now. If Mayhew is what he's supposed to be, is Barron really going to play? With Harris and Gouley, and you need a couple of veterans. So there's a couple guys, you know, Harris is going to be good. Gouley's going to play a lot of minutes. You're going to get free agents to come in. You're going to need a power play quarterback. So, I would, unless you can make a big splash on the trade market this year, I would not move any of them. And even if that means Barron plays the American Hockey League next year, he doesn't like it to start the season, or Mayhew plays for the whole season in the minors, he doesn't like it because he thinks it belongs in the NHL. Because what's the hardest thing to find is good young defensemen in the NHL and guys that can play big minutes. So I would be very, very patient with them. I would not move any of them unless it's in a big deal to move from five to second to get Dubois or to get any other players that we don't expect that could be available like Dak last summer.
Phil, you have no idea how much I've enjoyed this conversation. I wanted to get you on for about 20 or 25 minutes because I knew that you'd have an eye on your former team is playing. And here I am talking to you about the Montreal Canadiens whose season ended on the 13th of April or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Merci beaucoup. What a pleasure. What a pleasure for me. Like a real, real pleasure. And I hope you enjoyed it half as much as I did so that we can continue to do this more often.
Let's do it again anytime.
Merci beaucoup. Bonne soirée.
Take care, bud. Bonne soirée.
All right, there you have it. Live from Quebec City, il a gagné la Coupe Stanley. Philippe Boucher, who's a regular with my buddy Jean-Charles Lajoie, premier compteur at BPM Sport, and of course on JC at TVA Sport. Marinero, once again, special thanks to our partners, XL Moto, the number one place to buy a Vespa scooter. And I'm not talking Montreal, Canada. I'm talking North America. XLMoto.com is the website. Go to it. La Bite TB, brewed in Quebec, embrace your true nature, and Energy Transportation Group. For all of them and all of you watching, my sick army, my sick community, I feel really good about this podcast. I think we're bringing it up a notch. Slowly but surely, every day, I hope you feel the same way. If you do, if you go on Google, Apple, or Spotify and listen to the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro, leave us a 5-star review. When we get them, we feel happy. We start dancing. We do La Tarantella, me, Agnello, Sammy, Juliana, everybody. We get all excited, all right? And if you're watching us right now on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, Twitter Live, like it, share it with your friends, tell your friends about it, because the more people you tell, the bigger the community, the bigger the community, the stronger the community, the stronger the community, no one's going to stop us. No one is going to stop us. Like the Canadians in 93, no one's going to stop us now. No one stopped them. The stronger we get, the bigger we get. No one's going to stop us here. Sick, 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 sick. For Juliana and Sammy at Master Control. Oh, and by the way, for all of you, because I saw the messages coming in before, that were asking me about my weight loss, take down this number, 1-844-747-0175. It's Apex 31. And if you want to use my code, you get 10% off, AM2729. Actually, you know what? I'll just put it in the YouTube chat, and you can see it. 26 pounds in the last 46 days. So I'm feeling better about myself. Dallas is up 3-2 versus Seattle. With 3 minutes to go in period number two, this series is tied at two. After Dallas got out to a 3-0 lead, we have ourselves a hockey game, folks. We have ourselves a hockey game. So let's go watch it. We'll be back tomorrow night, same time, same place, for Agnello, Sammy, and Juliana back at Master Control. Their Cavallaro, me, I'm Marinaro.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature.